Hey there, piss freaks. Today's episode is brought to you by Studio Headphones. Tommy and I both have a pair of Studio's stylish headphones that also have studio quality sound. A lot of headphones look cool, but don't sound so good. Studio strives to solve that problem and succeeds. These headphones make it easy for us to listen to music in all four ways that it's possible. Our listeners get a 15% discount with promo code BAND15 at studiosweden.com. That's BAND15, capital B, capital A, capital N, and a capital D in there as well. And the number's 15 at studiosweden.com. And for our New York piss freaks, come see Stand By Your Band live at Caroline's on Broadway December 21st at 9:30, where we'll have stand-up by Mark Normand. Ooh, Joel Kim Booster. Wow. Ooh. Oh, shit. Mike Leibovitz. Huh?
And, of course, Tim Allen.
And Tim Allen will be selling cocaine outside at the merch table. We'll have more along with that, and we'll be doing some Guilty Pleasure song sing-alongs. Get tickets at carolines.com with promo code MOMMY for $11 tickets. Is that still our promo code? I think we should keep it MOMMY. I didn't realize that until I started this.
Well, that's our You Made It Weird thing. Keep it MOMMY.
Keep it MOMMY. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the show. All right. Hello there, piss heads. How's it going? Welcome to Stand By Your Band. I'm Tom Takar, first of all, and welcome to Stand By Your Band, the podcast where we have guests come on who talk about music that they enjoy that society doesn't like so much. I am, of course, joined by my co-host, Tommy Mac Weldon McNamara.
We have nothing to do with Mac Weldon.
Okay, we're brought to you by Tommy Mac Weldon.
Tommy Mac Weldon, Young Sheldon McNamara.
We should get Young Sheldon on board.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
All right. Hey, if you are someone who works for Young Sheldon, please contact us immediately.
If you're one of
911. Oh man, we have a lot to get into today. Let's introduce our guest, the wonderful Julia Claire.
Hello. Thank you guys very much. Good to be here.
Thanks for coming on. How
Thank
you doing?
You so much. I'm doing great.
You having a good little day?
Having a great little day. I went to work and then I came home and that's pretty much it. Now I'm here sitting with you two.
It's a fine day.
And we dressed up for you.
We did. Yeah. We're both wearing pajamas.
Yeah. This is 100% true. They are both wearing PJs. And this is not the first time
I've
come over and that has been the case.
They wearing PJs. PJs. Project. Living at the PJs.
Is that a thing?
What is that?
I just made that up. No, of course that's a thing. It was the Eddie Murphy cartoon on Fox.
Ah.
It was like, I think it was like Claymation or some shit like that. They really wasted a lot of clay on that piece of shit of a show. That was good clay.
Think of the mountain that had to be.
That clay was only surpassed by the wonderful Clay Aiken, of course.
Of course.
Who should have beat Ruben Studdard, according to our alt-right following. We have a big alt-right following.
Who wanted him to literally beat Ruben Studdard.
Oh, my God. All right. Tommy, how's your day going? You had a little show tonight. I don't know why I keep calling everything little.
I had one of my silly little shows. That was good. It was fun.
Sorry to anybody who went to that.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that was a good time. And now I'm very tired, but I'm here.
Hey, we're all here. I'm happy to be here. This is the first time we've seen each other in like weeks.
This is our first conversation in a long time.
I love that we saved it for the mics. I got to confront you on something, you sick fuck.
Okay, so what happened was Tom made his TV debut during this break, and
my God, I totally forgot. Oh, my God. It's weird because you're, like, right next to me, but sincerely, it was so good, and it was such a delight to watch. It was amazing.
Oh,
everyone should watch
Julia?
It. Everyone
Here's
watch
why I disagree. Now,
I was on Laughs on Fox this week.
Everyone watch Tom's Conan set. It is a delight.
Well, Tom's mad because I had a bunch of me and the Piss Boys. We all, at the same moment he was on TV, we got our Keurigs. And we, we smashed him in the street.
That's why I'm mad. That's it. So we do a little thing on this show where I post on Facebook every time we do this podcast. I post, do you like this band? Like today we did with Vampire Weekend, who we'll be talking about eventually. I post,
Do you hate
Vampire Weekend? Why? Tommy, the day of my Conan set, goes, when are you going to post about it? And I was like, I don't know. I don't feel weird or whatever. I might wait until after I tape it just to make sure I'm happy with it and stuff. And then
Which
like,
was
no.
a crazy thing
that's
to say.
I know, that's
thing
stupid.
To say.
Yeah, yeah. That
like
was
as
stupid.
If you didn't post about it, no one
would
have
see
seen
it.
It.
Yeah.
I know, but it just feels weird to be like, I'm doing this thing. And then you're like, yeah, but how did it go? Like, I don't know. It felt weird. Anyway, I ended up posting about it. But I said to Tommy, what if I posted, do you hate me being on Conan? Why? And Tommy goes, oh, the comments you'd get would be so annoying.
Yeah.
But I also was kidding. I wasn't really going to do it. And we were like, people are definitely going to post that on whatever I post. And so I post something like, I'm going to be on Conan, like, let me know if you want me to like sell merch
I
or something like that.
I deserve this more than everyone else. Yeah. I think you said that was your post.
Yeah, that was what it was. It was very humble. And then Tommy is the first comment on there saying, do you hate Tom being on Conan? Why? He gets like 160 likes on this shit. And everybody's like, this is better than the original post even.
Oh my God.
I gotta read all this shit. People are like, Tommy should be on Conan.
Now here's why I did that.
Yes. To teach me a lesson.
To save you from yourself. But no, imagine if somebody didn't like got all those likes. You'd be so mad.
You would. You'd be so mad.
It was the ultimate backstabbing.
No, it was the ultimate sacrifice. It was
that like, right?
If Jesus was alive, or if he were alive, either way.
If he ever.
Who says he's not?
I think
though.
He is alive.
That's a very good point.
He's alive in my heart.
Damn.
Sure,
thank
he could
you
be
so
on a
much.
Bus. On a plane, a train,
well, that's
an
his
automobile.
Dad.
Oh yeah. Well, some would argue that Jesus is God.
Wow.
Like in Fight Club. Was that what happened in that?
Yes.
Mm.
Act 1. Scene 1. Jesus
Act
God.
1.
Also in the Bible. Not just Fight Club.
The original Fight Club.
It's true. Fight Club Part 1, the Bible.
I will say, not to talk about the Conan thing too much. We can talk about it.
Why would you not talk about it?
It's boring to these fucking piss freaks. They want to hear about urination. And
Tom's acting humble. He's wearing a Conan shirt that's signed by Jay Leno. And he's
I don't know why our mics keep popping so hard. I don't know if you guys can hear that. Yeah, so I found out less than 24 hours in advance, which is crazy. I got a call that it might happen, and I was like waiting to find out, but I was like on very little sleep because I had done Doug Loves Movies before I flew out to LA. And so I had to fly out at like 5 in the morning, slept for like an hour, get to LA, and I'm like, fuck, I had to like be at this thing. And then I was like, I got to sleep in the hotel. And then my manager was like, hey, if you could do this, would you be able to? Like, if they wanted you to? And I was like, I don't know, actually. There was like a time conflict thing. I was like, I can't believe I might have to say no to this. And then it worked out like, it worked where I could say yes, but then I had to wait to find out if it was actually happening. I guess Conan doesn't like half Indian people. It's like a weird thing, but.
Well, I heard it was coming. It was either going to be you or Dat Phan.
That's right. Dat Phan, go grab me. Dat Phan.
But they decided that Dat Phan was too alt, and they need someone more mainstream like you. That could really...
Is Dat Phan still around? I am very mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
What's he up to? Let's
making,
check in.
Making pilots.
Go ahead, Tom, do an impression of
it. Oh, fuck you.
Come on, I'm setting you up.
This is like I did improv with a past guest, Nick Nanny, recently.
My God.
And during one scene, he walked up to me and said, hey, it's Louis C.K. and made me be Louis C.K. And then the next scene, he said, where are we going in this cab? Harvey Weinstein.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
He's great. He's right.
Best man.
That's so funny. So I get the call. I go to sleep while I'm waiting to find out if I'm going to get this or not. And I wake up. I'm sure that I dreamt the entire thing. I wake up and I'm like, that was fucking stupid. Why would this happen so like randomly? And then I get a call that it's happening. I was like, oh, shit. I tell Tommy first. I think Connor second. And then Jared Thompson third, who we'll be talking about soon. Jared, within a couple of hours, decides he's flying out to L.A. overnight.
So crazy.
It's insane, but it was the nicest thing probably anybody's ever done for me. Tommy didn't even send a fucking card. I don't know.
That would be so weird to send a card. I have noticed that card in Dwayne Reed, though. It's right next to Get Well Soon. It's a good job on Conan.
So many people getting it this day, they might as well make it. So I find out I'm getting, I have one chance to run it. And this is the craziest thing to me, but I don't know how the Comedy Store works, but I think you go there and buy comedy. That was stupid. I have one spot at the Comedy Store that night in the Belly Room, and I show up and I'm like, this is my only chance to run this set. I get there and I'm like, hey, do you guys have like a lineup? And they're like, yeah, you're actually up before the show. It was an 8 p.m. show. They were like, you're up at 7:50.
Oh my
so
God.
We're no one's going to bring you up or anything. You just have to walk on stage and go. And you get 7 minutes. I was like, so I'm running this the coldest way it could possibly
yeah.
be, which was nice because I was like, oh, if any. And while people are sitting down and they think that
How'd
I'm like about to make an announcement. It went OK. It went nice. Well enough where I was like, oh, this could work.
Yeah.
And so then I try to sleep and stuff. The next day, I'm like getting ready for it. Connor Delahanty, sweet boy, drives me all around. I got to buy clothes and shit. And then
it is weird you sat in the back seat.
I did. Well, you know, I'm on TV that day. He's it's his birthday, but fuck him, you know. He's a straight white man. I'm tired of shit. No, he was wonderful on that day, but and that day only. But so then. I'm a little anxious,
sure.
but I'm trying to do some bits and stuff. I get a text right before I do it from my friend Kim, who I love to death. She texts me, "Hey, what channel and time are Conan on?"
No,
I swear
sincere?
To God.
Sincere?
Yes, sincerely. It was so. It's the funniest thing I've ever gotten from anybody.
That is amazing.
It's only she could text me that where it's funny because she just stay high, you know. but it was so funny. And then, we were doing some bits in the green room. They made me bark people in. Isn't that fucked up? I was thinking, because they have Guitar Hero. They have NBA 2K14 in the green room.
Whoa.
So I beat the shit out of Connor at that. And then being there is very weird. It doesn't feel like you're doing what you're about to do. It's very odd. But it was a great time.
What kind of snacks they got?
Honestly, a little let down on the snacks.
Interesting.
They did provide me with a little thing of Chicago-style popcorn, which is funny because Django Gold gave me...
that Garrett's, yeah.
Garrett's? Mm-hmm. They had Garrett's in the... So
did
I just
really?
Finished a fucking thing of Garrett's. It's sitting right there, yeah. But it says it's the only thing in the green room that says Conan on it that's for you. So I was like, fuck, I have to lug this canister of popcorn across the country now. I almost had to check a bag. I just carried it on the plane. I look like a dumbass, and it says Conan on it.
Oh, yeah.
So then I'm like, it looks like I'm waiting for people to ask me, like, oh, where'd you get that? Yeah, I will say everybody always talks about, like, getting shitty YouTube comments. I've been checking a little bit.
Shouldn't.
I know the one comment that I've gotten that's negative so far, I'm sure it'll be more worse by the time I check again, was this person saying, didn't laugh once, it seemed prepared.
I read that one.
Yeah.
I read the comments too. I read the comments on all on all those. And
I do too.
Yeah, I was like, that is the best mean comment I've
it's
ever
so
seen.
Funny because it's like, sorry I didn't riff my TV set, Doug. Next time I will. I learned a lesson from you, Justine 34. I don't know what their name was. I'm sure
Tommy
it was a dude.
De Pissman 32, oh,
shit.
Whoever that was.
It's all adding up. It's some guy who loves piss. One of your fans, probably. I still don't get it that it's you.
It'd be so funny to see someone do a stand-up set and walk out there like, can I get a suggestion?
Fuck, that would be a good opening. Damn it. Anyway, that was my, yeah, that was my trip. It was nice, and then I had to rush to do another set right after that for the NBC Stand Up for Diversity, and they're wonderful. So
wow.
Follow them on Twitter, NBC.
It is the funniest Twitter going.
Yeah, what a fucking crazy week. And now yeah. I had to come back to this dumb shit podcast.
Hell yeah.
No, we should say thank you to everybody who came to our live show
so
in Chicago.
Fun.
That was such a fucking great time. So crazy that people came. I don't think they knew what a podcast was, but it was very fun.
It was really fun.
Where did you guys do it?
The Lincoln Lodge.
Oh, fun.
My old home show, which is a new venue, and it's a new room, and I like it a lot.
Really?
I think it was a great, perfect size for us.
Oh, it was perfect. Yeah. And to be back at Tommy's old stomping grounds, which used to be an Indian burial ground. He would stomp around on it because he didn't respect Indian people. It was fucked up. So I'm glad he found a new stomping ground.
Are we going to put the stand-up on the Patreon? We're talking about
We
it.
Might.
Maybe.
We're waiting to find out if this diva will let us put her stand-up on.
Yeah, we did have Aretha Franklin did a set. Yeah. We're not sure if we could have it.
I haven't asked Tim, but we'll just put his up.
Oh, I don't,
no one
no,
cares.
Don't ask.
Yeah, we're going to be putting the stand-up on the from the show because me and Tommy and Tim started the show off, and our other our diva guest. No, she was wonderful. Alex Cuban, follow her up.
Very great.
She wanted
love
to,
her.
Yeah, she wanted to hear the audio reasonably, so I'm not sure if I want mine on there, to be honest. No, we're going to do it. We're going to post it on patreon.com/standbyyourband where you can hear bonus content from me and the piss man himself. The piss and poop man now.
There was a moment, so Tim McLaughlin walks up with two Gatorade bottles, and I go like, what's going on with this? And he goes, nothing. And it was to make a piss joke during
me
the
and,
show.
Me and him had planned that for like 2 weeks, and he's so stupid that he shows up and he's like, oh yeah, I should probably like get some Gatorade, and he can't hide it from you that he's such a fucking idiot.
Have you met Tim McLaughlin?
Yeah.
At Mayor of Fartown.
Yeah.
I don't know why you'd follow it, but you could.
Chicago is a utopia.
Yes.
It's the greatest place on earth.
Mm-hmm. But you are a Boston legend.
Thank you so much. That is how I demand to be intro'd everywhere I go. Boston legend.
They call you female Mark Wahlberg.
Yes.
They call her the original time. JC.
Oh, that's
never,
true.
There's never been a JC before me.
Wow.
Nope.
Ever.
Not JC Chavez. Not Jesus Christ.
I thought it was Chazé.
Is
that
Chazé.
It? God damn it.
I thought it was the thing
is...
that it is.
I was talking about someone else.
JC Chavez.
Yeah, yeah.
Brother of Hugo.
He was
yeah,
a...
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
A Spanish superstar, JC Chavez. JZ Chavez.
JC Chazé is the best singer in NSYNC, and every day that Justin Timberlake's career is better than his is an injustice.
We got to get more of these NSYNC guys in Woody Allen movies.
Yes.
That's what I've been saying.
Literally, that movie looks so bad.
It's insane how bad the trailer is.
No, the trailer, all of the acting, even sort of Kate Winslet looks bad in it. It's like everyone else is like dragging her down because fucking Jim Belushi is in
it's
it.
It's Jim
Wait, which
Belushi?
Movie is this?
Jim Wonder Wheel?
The new Woody Allen movie.
Oh, I have not seen
it. From the looks of it, Jim Belushi is the lead.
No, he is.
Oh,
he's,
no.
He's like the male lead. It's like him and Kate Winslet. And then the narrator, I think, is Justin Timberlake, who's playing a lifeguard.
I heard that...
Justin Timberlake's acting is unwatchable, and I just...
Really?
I
like
it.
Him in Social Network.
No,
he
he's not good in Social
you
Network.
You think he's bad?
He's unwatchable. He's so clearly Justin Timberlake all the time.
Damn.
He's very good on SNL because I think he has no time to think and he's just like going, and I think he's really good in sketch.
So he would have been good in Don't Think Twice.
Oh my God.
Where he could have been on Weekend
No,
Live.
He would have been even worse in Don't Think Twice. 100%. Like, no question. He would have been hamming it up so much. I can't watch him. He makes me furious.
Oh, wow.
I really...
So you're not an Alpha Dog fan.
Oh, my God. Please kill me.
Tommy can't watch him because he gets too hard in the theater.
Wait, my favorite Justin Timberlake acting thing ever is... I haven't even seen this movie, but the trailer for the movie In Time, Do you remember this? In Time was a movie?
Oh, yeah.
Where time was currency?
Who was the lady in that? Like a lady lead, too.
Was it Blunt?
That might be right. I cannot remember. I do remember the trailers for In Time.
But there's a part where he's at a coffee shop and he goes, 4 minutes for a cup of coffee?
Oh, my God.
That's my favorite thing ever.
He needs to go away forever. Why won't he just leave us alone? I want
you're
going to
piss some listeners off here. I can't believe Jim Belushi is in a...
Jim Belushi he's not just in it. He is, like, the male lead.
Is this what Woody Allen does now? He just takes, like, Andrew Dice Clay and Jim Belushi?
No, I think it's because fewer and fewer people will work with him now. That's my theory.
Maybe.
But, I mean,
please,
he's still
Mr.
got...
Belushi.
He's still got fucking... Selena Gomez and Timothy Chalamet for his next.
Oh, is he in the next one?
Yeah.
Oh shit! And then the next one after that, Dustin Diamond is the star.
Please, Screech, come out of your trailer. We need to start shooting. Don't try and fight me again. I was seeing Lady Bird for the second time. Beautiful film.
Oh,
and
two times.
I love
damn.
It.
And so they're the guy working the movie theater. He's kind of a talkative guy. And I'm wearing a Cubs shirt in Chicago. And he wants to talk about the Cubs for like 10 minutes. I'm like, you must see 1,000 Cubs shirts a day. There's just no way that I'm the only one. He calls me Ernie Banks. We're both white. He calls me Ernie Banks. It was a black player.
What the fuck?
He goes, hey, Ernie Banks. I was like, okay. And then, so I'm finally walking in. I'm like, yeah, I'm seeing Lady Bird. He's like, oh, I love it. I'm like, yeah. And then he goes, some eye candy in that, huh? And I was like, what? Like, this is weird. And then he goes, yeah, that Timothy Chalamet.
That's pretty good.
This is just bizarre, though.
Timothy Chalamet is very hot. And also, he's so good in both.
I haven't seen Call Me By Your Name yet.
I've seen that one twice.
Which is about Tom changing his name.
Right, exactly.
Hey, really quickly, Ernie Banks. Speaking of Ernie Banks, have you guys seen that movie about him? Ernest Goes to the Banks?
God.
It was the first part of the Occupy Wall Street movie.
You saw Lady Bird twice.
Well, it was a whole thing where the first
someone
time Marsha and I
it.
Saw it.
Yeah,
and
then you wanted to be able to focus because women be talking.
Women be
talking.
No, this guy kept pacing up and down the aisle and we like kind of freaked out.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot you were saying that was Lady Bird. God,
okay.
Movies are scary now. Every movie's scary now.
Part of the reason why I saw Call Me By Your Name twice is because the guy who was sitting next to me the first time I watched it just kept going,
The same thing happened to me. I saw American History X with Tom, and he kept.
Some hot scenes in that movie. There's a sex scene that I remember as a kid being like, "What the fuck? Is that sex? Is that what that is?" Shit,
girl, give me that skin head.
But I probably will see Call Me By Your Name. At least,
I gotta see it
at least a few more times.
Really. What's your number one of the year? Is that it?
That's probably, I would say.
We're at that time now. We're
yeah.
December, everyone's naming their favorites.
Yeah, I actually think on the whole, for all the performances, I think Lady Bird is better.
Mm-hmm.
But I like was obsessed with the book, Call Me By Your Name.
Ah.
So I think the first time I watched it, I was like kind of mad. I was like, this is not as good. But it's one of those things where I'm like, this should have been a miniseries. I'm like, I would be the only one who would watch
this.
That.
Is
yeah,
exactly yeah. what I was saying about the SpongeBob 3D. The book was better, bitch.
This is my favorite Don DeLillo. No. So wait, here's a question. What's your favorite, as a Boston woman, favorite Boston movie?
Oh, okay.
Because I love Boston movies.
I do too. I'm a connoisseur of Boston movies. I have seen them all. I've seen, the classics are Mystic River.
Sure.
A lot of Dennis Lehane books adapted into things.
Mystic River, The Good Will Hunting, obviously. I think The Departed is probably, start to finish, was probably my favorite.
Mm, especially that last, watching
yes.
the rat run across the window. That's your favorite part.
That's my favorite.
Yeah.
The symbolism is a little much. It's a little heavy-handed. I think that one's... I don't know. Good Will Hunting doesn't do it for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. It's a very fun movie to watch, I think, at a certain age.
Yes.
Like, I loved it when I saw it. I can't picture myself watching it now.
I was really into it when I was a tween.
Oh, yeah.
I was very moved by Robin Williams. His
had to see about a girl.
A lot of powerful movies from that are based in Boston, like
Gone Baby
Fever
Gone.
Pitch.
That changed my life. I'd never had a fever before.
Yeah. I just like all that stuff about Catholic people molesting everybody. That was a subplot, right? And Fever Pitch.
Oh, wait. I forgot about Spotlight.
Spotlight is
technically
an incredible movie.
It's,
yeah.
It's, that's probably the best.
That one felt a little on the nose with the preacher fucking. I think that Fever Pitch is a better one where if you look in the windows.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know, as I've said before, you can't spell Drew Barrymore without Roy Moore.
No, shit. Does that hold up?
Nope. Kind of close.
I think Ray Moore would fit.
Exactly.
Oh, boy. We should talk about your day, Julian. We're 25 minutes in. We should maybe touch on Vampire Weekend a little bit here. We got a lot to cover. Let's start with Jer Bear's voicemail just to get it out of the way here. Jared Thompson is, of course, friend and foe of the podcast, even though I'm going to still call him foe, even though he flew across the country
to
hang out with me for 3 days. Oh, yeah. All right. So here is our friend, Jerry Berry. I got to turn this all the way up so I don't forget. Headphones in. All right.
What's up, y'all? It's this week's They Went to Jared. When Tom texted me that they were going to have a guest on defending Vampire Weekend, he also wrote, yes, they fit the premise, Jared. And I understand why he felt like he had to say that, because they're not Maroon 5 or 311, where, like, the average person thinks that they're terrible. I think that the average person may not know who they are, but there's a lot of people who like them, probably more people that know who they are, like them, than hate them. But I feel very strongly that he's right, that they definitely are hated, and I feel sort of less comfortable about my position on them as I did maybe 3 or 4 years ago. I think that in a lot of cases, you know, I'm critical of bands being white privilege-y or, you know, artists having this just like devoid of blackness or non-whiteness in any way, and they definitely fit that bill. John Roy has a great joke where he's talking about, I think, the Decemberists, and he's like, they're as if black people never existed. And I listen to a few bands that are like that, and this is one of them. I think that all of us sort of have been thrust into a much more political viewpoint over the last few years. Like, I definitely was very political as a kid, and I sort of softened on that. And I think that bands like Coldplay and Vampire Weekend, and to a certain extent The Killers, who we covered a few weeks ago, kind of sort of fed into that guard down era. And before that time frame, and now I listen to much more thoughtful music. And I think that Vampire Weekend, I have to admit that when they come on, certain songs and albums, I like them. But it definitely feels it's very, very similar to La La Land, the movie, where it's like I'm watching it and all I can think about is that Donald Trump is our president. And it just feels totally devoid of any sort of substance. And I think that Vampire Weekend is sort of the musical equivalent to La La Land, where it's like, yeah, it's good, but they're kind of douchebags, and they kind of are just totally ignoring history in every way. So anyway, I like the band, but fuck it. Thanks, guys.
I think that there's a lot of fair points in there. I also will argue, though, that their last album came out when Barack Obama was in the White House. It was a different time. We could all be a little more frivolous with
actually,
our art back then.
All of their albums came out during the Obama presidency.
Is that right?
Oh, actually,
oh,
no,
shit.
The first album is 2008. Is like,
yeah,
but before,
because they were like
November.
Becoming.
But wasn't
like
Jimmy Carter during Iran Contra? How you guys doing? Come on,
I'm gonna throw my beer at you. Yeah, so I get like I'm very curious as to what they're going to do.
Yeah.
With their next album, and I mean, it kind of sucks because the whole Rostam is not going to be a part of it.
Yeah,
his other music is really good.
It is, and he says he's still going to be like collaborating with Ezra or whatever on, and he's going to be like a collaborator on the album.
It just sucks. I think he's better than Ezra. I knew we'd fit that in there somewhere.
That was good.
You must have that written down.
Oh, it was good riffing with you.
Oh, shit. Now we just have to fit in this Toad the Wet Sprocket reference somewhere.
Jared said a lot.
He was talking like faster than normal. I think he's become self-conscious about the time. He sounded like what Tommy's dad accused him of being, which is on fast forward on this podcast.
But not like the whole show, just my
your
part,
which is true. I do speed up Tommy. I think that he takes up too much time on this podcast.
Man, what do you mean by that?
By the way, really fast, Tommy's dad is so funny, but I was, because people have been like writing on my wall or whatever for the Conan thing, and then somebody, some random person that I don't even think it's somebody I know that well, commented on it, and then that was where Tommy's dad wrote on it. Yeah, like, yeah. Commenting on someone else's post that neither of us really know. He was like, hey, I have some notes for you. Which is very funny.
I hope my dad and that guy become friends.
Anyway, so yes, Jared did say a lot.
Yeah.
There was a lot to cover, for sure.
It's a lot of basically what people say about Vampire Weekend all the time, which is why I chose them, and basically... It's the review at large is just like, this is how white privilege sounds. Mm-hmm. But, and a lot of people I think really love their, if they do like Vampire Weekend, they like their most recent album the best, Modern Vampires of the City. And I don't.
Ooh.
And I think that their first two albums are way better.
Interesting.
And that's like, a lot of what you hear on their first two albums and see in the videos is what people really hate about them. And that's like what I loved about them so much. I've like seen them 3 times in concert. The first time I saw them, I think my friend and I like dressed up in like our preppiest clothes to go to their concert. And it was the best time. It's the best time of my life.
Did you pop a collar?
I must have. Yeah, I definitely had a sweater around the neck.
Were you wearing bow shoes? You're still
always.
Wearing... Oh, you were in boat shoes
always,
right now.
Always, baby.
Damn. I remember I had boat shoes around the time that I was like super into them, and I got so much shit about it. And I was like, I like them. Who cares?
They're great.
Like,
people used
difference?
To call him Drew Sperrymore.
They did.
Oh, my God.
They actually did call me that. It's really fucked up that you'd bring that up. They'd call me that, and they'd beat me with an oar. They'd say, hey, you love boats so much. How about you take this beating from an oar? It's 11:18.
I used to think that a shirt that didn't have a Polo logo on it wasn't nice.
Right.
Like, I was like, yeah.
100%.
I was totally in that for a while.
Yeah.
It's funny. I didn't know what nice clothes were. I only knew that I liked the look of like the Sperry's with like a short pant or whatever.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'll get those. But then I would just wear like a I'm with dumbass shirt. Like, I didn't have normal clothes. I just got all my shirts from Goodwill. And then I had too big of jeans all the time.
For
I looked
sure.
like fucking
boat shoes
trash.
Are insanely comfortable.
They're so comfortable.
Yeah, they're good.
They're pretty much all I wear.
Mm-hmm. And they're like the only shoe that I feel comfortable wearing without a sock. And
right,
I'm like, that's
for
nice
sure.
Sometimes you get it. Yeah. Like anything else, I'm like, God, what am I doing? I'm ruining this shoe.
I really feel one with my boat shoes, and I always have, and that's why I continue to wear them. So that's why Vampire Weekend is my favorite band.
I think I stopped when I heard Megan Kelly's joke.
Yeah,
she
know.
Calls them like the official shoes of date rape, and I was like, oh, I can't.
Oh God! Just kidding.
Well, you could
still. You've heard that though, right?
I must have.
I mean, it's definitely like a fratty shoe.
Yeah. No. Oh no, I know that. Yeah. Of course.
And then that's associated with date rape and
right.
stuff.
Which is very
point,
much
Tom.
Very much my aesthetic, honestly. Very.
I will say, I do think it was fucked up that when I was trying on Sperry's, the salesman yelled out to the back, "We're gonna need a bigger boat shoe."
Oh my God!
I thought that was fucked up. This podcast sucks. let's get into
have any, what are the other 2 times you saw him?
Oh yeah.
So I
Were these all in Boston?
No. So I went to school in Baltimore, and two of the times were there.
Ah.
The Meriwether Pavilion in Baltimore. And one of them was just their, I think, beach house open for them.
Oh,
the
nice.
First time I saw them, which was
great. Oh, that's funny that you say that. So I loved Beach House and Vampire Weekend when I was in college. And I remember a friend of mine being like, fuck Beach House. I saw them open for Vampire Weekend, and it was the most boring concert I've ever seen in my life. And I was like, that would be such a dream for me to go to that.
Honestly,
I think
they're not. I didn't think they were that good live.
Get the fuck out of our house.
I love Beach House. You know who I think I saw one time, another time that I saw them, I saw like Crystal Castles open for them, and they were bad. They were
damn.
Like really fucking
I only
bad.
Heard one Crystal Castle song, and
they're
I was like,
really,
I don't
really
see
bad
myself diving
live.
Deeper.
Yeah.
Beach House sing that song, She's a Beached House.
She's Depression Cherry. Just letting it all teen bloom. Wait, no, Teen Dream. And then there's there's an album called Bloom. Man, those two albums sound exactly alike.
Oh my God.
People get mad when you say that, but it's true, though.
It's true.
Anyway, yeah, so you saw them live with Beach House.
Yes.
And then
I saw them it was another show in Baltimore called like Virgin Mobile Free Fest or something like that, where they were headlining it, and there were like a bunch of other bands playing, and all of my friends took Molly, and I was the only one who didn't.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
Because I really just wanted to be present for Vampire Weekend. Also, I was like obviously like a huge narc, and just didn't take it. I was just too afraid taking Molly.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, had a lot of people like caressing my face.
Oh my God.
Which was good.
That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah. It's really weird. Yeah, but they were really good. And then I think the last time I saw them was when they were touring Modern Vampires, and that was in Boston.
How was that show?
It was real. I mean, they're great.
I have a lot of thoughts on what your ideas of the three albums are, because you made me think about some stuff today when you made your comments. I do have to ask you, you went to school in Baltimore?
Yeah.
Around what year?
I have no idea where this bit is going.
I was wondering if you know anything about what happened to my friend Haman Lee. She was last seen in a Best Buy parking lot.
Did you go to Best Buy parking lot, you?
I did some name changing of my own. My name is Adnan.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God.
You are receiving a call from Stand By Your Band.
What was her name again, the serial lady?
Sarah Koenig.
Oh,
Ezra Koenig.
Tommy just ripped his headphones out, probably because he yelled too loud into them. That is pretty wild.
Yeah,
I think it's all connected. I think we figured something out tonight about Heyman.
I think there's like a homeland, just like word association board somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
In your apartment.
And they have a song called Hey.
Yahey.
Yahey. Those were her last words. This has gone too far. I've heard of Yas Queen,
oh
but Yahey. Anyway, so I just mostly wanted to ask you about that because we're trying to figure some stuff out about
Great.
My friend. But when did you start feeling backlash about liking Vampire Weekend?
I would say probably maybe like the people who I was hanging out with when I was like maybe like a junior in college or something like that. Vampire Weekend had been out for a few years and their second album had just come out, and they just thought that it was like more of the same. And
interesting.
I don't agree.
I feel like Contra is such a departure from
I do too.
From the first album.
It's way more experimental than their self-titled.
And just the vibe of it is completely different right off the bat, because everybody talks about how their first album, the self-titled, is a ripoff of Paul Simon's Graceland.
Sure.
Which it is. I didn't realize that. It's funny. I hadn't listened to Graceland.
I don't think it's a ripoff.
I'm not saying
it's
influenced.
But it's also influenced by like Peter Gabriel. And
sure.
Like, I don't know.
It's like, it's not fair. I think that if something is influenced by something, it's fucked up to like accuse them of being like, you ripped it off.
And
it's
also,
like, not that
Paul
sounds
Simon
totally
basically ripped off all of African music.
Well, it's like how when people watch Tommy McNamara.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. It's exactly the same as Sinbad, but he's not ripping him off. He's just doing the same material in a different voice.
I've also never bombed.
Yeah, I was just going to say, did you know Sinbad's never bombed?
Oh, wait, no, he didn't steal that part.
I have been trying to steal a toy, though.
Like, that's what you think his comedy is, you sick fuck. Get out of the toy shop. That's Schwarzenegger telling him to get out of the toy shop. He just made an entrance and exit very quickly. Our levels are all fucky today. I think that I was listening to Paul Simon's Graceland. It's funny, I hadn't heard Graceland before I heard Vampire Weekend's first
album.
I listened to Vampire Weekend first. Yeah, but it wasn't stuff that stuck. It wasn't a thing that in my house as a kid, we listened to country music and we listened to Journey and Styx. And then like,
whoa.
Oh my God, my stepdad just popped up on Facebook. Oh shit. We should look into that later. That's very weird. Anyway, we would listen to like, he would like listen to like AC/DC and shit, but it wasn't like Paul Simon. We didn't listen to Simon and Garfunkel ever. Like,
I was like scripture in my house.
I mean, I think cool families probably listen to that stuff. But you know, we were listening to country. It's not like there wasn't any cool stuff. My mom would listen to some like older country that was fun. I got into like, Reba McEntire and stuff, which is pretty sick. And then, what's her name? Who's the one who sings that don't impress me much?
Shania Twain.
I got into Shania.
Oh, she was great.
These are not old country.
No, no, that's
like
not
Dolly Parton.
I was looking for Dolly Parton.
I thought you were
going
like
to
say like Patsy Cline.
And you've been looking for her for
Patsy
years.
Cline. Yeah, yeah.
You kind of hang out around her estate. And where is she?
Where is she? I should check in Dollywood.
It's Batman versus Parton.
Pardon the interruption. Let's get back to talking about Vampire Week. No, we just didn't. That it wasn't something that was like a part of in my house a lot.
Yeah.
So,
Paul Simon also in a Woody Allen movie, just like Jim Belushi.
Is that right?
He's in Annie Hall.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
the cocaine
that's right.
Scene.
He is just like Jim Belushi.
Jeff Goldblum is in that.
Ooh,
is it Annie Hall?
That's
too?
Right.
I think that was one of
his first. Christopher movies. Walken.
And I feel like it's pretty much the same cast between Annie Hall and Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
It's pretty much person for person the same movie.
Never mind. I tried to do a Ragnarok and Roll joke on Douglas movies and woo!
Oh,
it bombed.
Really?
I wasn't going to do it, but I was feeling it. I was having a good time on the show and I was like, this audience loves me. I can get away with anything. So then I tried a tweet that barely worked and then
nice.
It bombed.
Yeah. I used to try and do a Vampire Weekend joke at a few open mics.
Yeah?
I used to say I looked like Vampire Weekend if they drank too much blood. I thought it was very funny. Audiences disagree.
I do think that if Vampire Weekend had female counterparts, I would be first
for
in line.
For sure.
I want to say a couple things. So we were talking about the Paul Simon thing. I listened to Paul Simon's Graceland after listening to Vampire Weekend. And I love the first album a lot.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I heard from them, like most people. Like, that's what got me into them was probably I had heard A-Punk all over the place.
Yeah.
I loved Oxford Comma.
A-Punk
great.
Is still great.
I still like Oxford Comma.
I still listen to that. I still listen to that album. It's like a really good, like, summer.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
Album.
And that's why I think that Contra is so different. I think of Contra as a winter album.
I do too.
I think
obviously
it starts with Horchata.
In December,
so
drinking Horchata.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're totally different albums, and I think that you can tell that they have better producers on Contra, and that they've just like grown as musicians. And I love the self-titled debut, and that's like what introduced me to them, but I think Contra is like a perfect album. Like, I don't think there's like an even a mediocre song on it.
On both of those I think it's on both of those albums. There's like at least one song I don't like, but I really can't. Yeah, I don't like
there's a few songs on Modern Vampires that I can do without.
I think the last two songs kind of suck.
I think it has too many tracks.
I do too. Yeah. I think
just like my friend the heroin addict.
Track
also, okay, I really just didn't like that Jonah Hill was like tweeting about them a lot around the time that it came out. I was like, oh, Jonah Hill's gonna fucking ruin Vampire Weekend. Like he was literally like tweeting the lyrics to their songs.
Oh,
I was like,
no.
You douche.
Okay, so here's what I will say about modern vampires is I like fewer songs. There are more songs I dislike on that album than any other album from them.
Yes.
But the songs I love on that album, I love more than any other, except for Contra. Except for I Think You're a Contra, the song.
Oh,
I think
okay.
That's their best song.
Oh, wow.
Personally,
okay.
That's my favorite song of theirs, but I get made fun of this a lot. I like
I love
Mom
I think,
music.
Did I put
you
I
put
think,
it? Yeah,
yeah,
you put that on there,
it's
and I was very happy with it.
I feel about it to what you're saying. I kind of like the way I feel about Life of Pablo, the Kanye album. I think there's too
absolutely,
many songs.
Yeah.
I think there's songs I don't care about
yes.
at all that I'll never listen to again. Uh-huh. But the songs I love, I love.
They are so good.
So
no more parties in L.A.
Yeah, I was going back and listening to Modern Vampires because I don't revisit it a lot, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I own it, of course. And so
what do you
I,
own it on?
I own it
are you
on
a vinyl are you a vinyl
I
person?
Have it on vinyl and I also have it on like CD.
I love CDs
but also because I when I lived in Massachusetts I would drive everywhere, so my my parents' car had like
I was the same way. Yeah, I would drive around listening to CDs until I was 25.
So
yeah. No, I like it's funny, I have a National CD in my car right now that's like just like on, it's the only thing that plays when my aux cord breaks.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend was like parking my car for me, and she was like, she had to drive around for a while, and she was like, "This sucks." She's like, "Your music sucks. It's like very sad and boring." And I was like, "That's what I like." Like but we were on a trip, and that song, that album, just kept looping.
Oh
and
my
I'm
God.
Sure it drove everybody
Which
crazy.
Which one is it?
It's Boxer.
Nice.
I mean, it's my favorite is Trouble.
Bridge
find
over
will
Trouble.
Find me.
Trouble will find me.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, and also Bridge over Troubled Water, which is my favorite Clay Aiken moment on
Simon Garfunkel. There's a song called "The Boxer."
Oh, damn! Weird. Wow, this all comes back.
Now, Sarah Koenig.
We're about to. I think we're about to find out who killed Haven. anyways, yeah, I'm so torn on this like album comparison thing. Let's really
I just
quickly.
I didn't like how everyone I feel like they became super popular after Modern Vampires was released, and
uh-huh.
that's when they were in like their vinyls were in every fucking Urban Outfitter.
Urban Outfitters,
yes.
Yeah. They did turn into an Urban Outfitters band.
I
they
also
did.
Feel like I feel like that first album was also an Urban Outfitters though. Maybe but, it started then, but I think it was after Contra because I remember being in a Hot Topic and seeing their shirts everywhere.
Well,
I was like, this isn't great.
I mean, the
for
cover
them.
Of Contra is so is iconic.
It's an amazing
it's,
picture.
It's
and that's the one they got sued for
got
$2 million
yeah.
by the girl. It's pretty weird to take a picture of just some lady
no.
and make it your album cover.
Yeah, that's yeah. So I guess she was like a model and they just like found this Polaroid of her and liked it and used it for the cover without
And her daughter is the one who figured it
yeah,
out, right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
Damn.
That would be so crazy to see your mom on the album.
Yeah.
That would be pretty
I wanted
wild.
To be her. I was mesmerized by her.
Oh, yeah.
I just assumed it was like one of their girlfriends or something.
No.
She's super, I mean, she's
yeah,
a babe.
She's hot.
Yeah.
It's just a cool picture, too.
It is a cool picture.
That's
all
my amazing
pictures.
Analysis.
Very, yeah.
It's very just like deer in the headlights. Yeah. It's really good.
I'm looking because the thing with Vampire Weekend that made them easy to like in the beginning, because this was, I mean, the first album came out in 2008, I believe.
Eight,
or something.
Yeah.
So that was right around the time that I was very much like, oh, it was, January 29th, 2008. Good call. They were cool according to Pitchfork, and it was like that meant something to
like,
a lot of people.
I never used to read Pitchfork. I never did. I had some because I was like going from a junior to a senior in high school, and I had like a few friends who were at Harvard, and they were like listening to Vampire Weekend. Ooh. And I wanted to be them so badly. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, these people are genuinely good. So I was, yeah.
Oh, shit.
I was obsessed with them.
So they're, I mean, this is rare on our podcast. That's why I bring it up, because mm-hmm. not everybody gives a shit about Pitchfork. But, and the only Pitchfork that Tommy's worried about is that witch hunt that's coming after him. All right. So, yeah, they got 8.8 on Pitchfork with wow. their first album. And their first album was them putting shit together. Like,
yeah.
everybody, this is what I kind of find annoying about the criticism of Vampire Weekend, and I was guilty of it too. I, even up until today.
Oh, that
I
they're fucking 21, 22 when they.
Not that. That is also annoying, but yeah. a lot of music that I love is like that. Like Car Seat Headrest is like that, where the kid's like 22 or some shit like that, and he's, I think he's brilliant.
Young Sheldon.
Yeah, of course. Young Sheldon is brilliant. I think even better than Old Sheldon. I think that Young Sheldon was a prodigy. Old Sheldon, get it together. Remember what brought us to you, that twinkle in your eye. yeah, so many people are like, they're prep, like they are, all, yeah. they're all born rich. And I was reading about them, and they're not. They worked, like, Ezra Koenig was like working while he was making music. He was a teacher and yeah. shit. Like, they, and then I watched a video of Rostam's family, and they're yeah. like immigrants. I can't remember if they're immigrants. They might be. I think they are, though.
I think
though.
They are.
Yeah, and like they seem very interesting. I saw a really cute video of his mom like cooking and stuff, but she, one of them is an artist, and like it's not like they came, they're not trust fund kids, like the way
no,
that they're presented
to be. I agree,
to be.
And I don't. I just think that that's a bad criticism of art. It's like.
Sure.
I, you know, I hate the rich as much as the next
kill
person.
The rich.
Kill the rich. Eat the rich. But, you know.
Eat the rich. Have the middle class for dessert.
Let me.
I don't know. well, he said eat the rich. we were saying eat the rich, and then, you know, you gotta, you're gonna have a, you need a palate cleanser.
I guess.
We all agree.
But yeah, like, I think it's like, yeah, it's a path of less resistance when you're obviously when you're wealthy. I don't even think that they are, but I don't think that that's a.
I think they're middle class. It
yeah,
sounds like
exactly.
upper. They might be upper middle, but they liked. I was reading about why they are the way they are, because their music is very much like it presents this ideal of like. It's a lot of people that I like went to college with that I hated. Where I yeah. was like, oh, I get it. You're like. You don't have to work, and you're like, your life is easy.
Yeah.
And they present that without actually being in it. And it's like, it is boat shoes, and it's like,
yeah,
being on campus and like being flirty, and like, it's hard. Like, it feels summery and light, and it's like, no worries and shit like that.
And even they had a single, Ladies of Cambridge, that's like very much like that too, which is another song that I love.
Uh-huh.
But it's, yeah, there's like a lot of, I would say the self-titled, there's, it's like very idealistic.
And it's, well, I was reading a little bit about how, about Walcott. I didn't realize Walcott's based on a character
yeah.
in a movie that Ezra Koenig wanted to make for like 2 days. And that's
called
the name
Vampire
of the band.
Weekend.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's all like, it's about a dude named Walcott who has to like escape Cape Cod because there's vampires there.
Yeah.
So then when he's saying, that don't you want to get out of Cape Cod? He's talking about how all these places are shit show. Yeah. Like oh. I always was like, oh, I get it. He's like,
Hyannisport is a ghetto.
That line specifically, I was like, oh no, they might be a little bit much. But yeah, it's like it's fiction,
yeah.
and it's a double edged sword because part of that makes me like them, and then part of that makes me hate them. Because there are so many songs, like on Modern Vampires, there's a song called Hannah Hunt.
Yeah.
That was my favorite song of theirs forever. Hannah's
Witch
my
Hunt?
Girl. Tommy, they're not coming after you. You gotta. I loved that song, and I pictured it was about this relationship that went too fast or something, like people rushed in, and then. They move and like they're trying to make it as romantic or whatever, and then it's falling apart. Whatever. I loved it. And then
yeah.
I read about it, and it was like, yeah, Hannah Hunt, that's just a lady. Like, we didn't have anything. We just thought it was a catchy song or whatever. And I'm like, God damn it! Like, I don't want to hear that. I hate reading that.
This is my criticism of Modern Vampires, is that it felt sort of contrived. Like, and just like, it feels like this weird, like, death obsessed contrivance that I just don't want to listen to most of the time. Like, I think some of the songs are really, I really love, like, Obvious Bicycle.
Hate the title, but I love the song.
When it came out, I loved, I think Yahe was probably my favorite song.
Me too. Yeah. The way they go into those
metaphors are pretty heavy in the whole album.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty heavy handed where they're Diane just like, Young. God isn't real, you're a dumbass. fuck you.
Diane Young's so catchy though.
I know. It is. Diane Young is really
I gotta
catchy.
Tell you, I didn't figure out that Diane Young no. meant Diane Young. It was like 6 months. And when somebody said, I was like, oh, it made me not like the song as much, honestly.
It took me like 10 years to figure that out, that Flo Rida is Florida.
Wait a second. yeah, I agree with that to some extent. There's some of it that I love. I just don't love Young Lion. Is it Young Lion?
Wait a second. I just got Wile E. Coyote. He's a Wile E. Coyote.
Oh, shit. I just got Bugs. I think I got Bugs Bunny because he's like made out of bugs. Because rabbits eat bugs. Man, we're figuring out a lot tonight. Because mine was...
This is actually like a truth or podcast.
That's what all the kids play now. Instead of truth or dare, they play truth or podcast.
Oh, God. All right. Let's go to Facebook to see what some of the comments
are. The garbage fire on Facebook.
Actually, let me see what time we're at real fast. We should take a break and... hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back on Stand By Your Band. Hey there, pissheads. Tom Takar here again with a reminder that Studio Headphones are our sponsor today. I have a pair of the Regent on-ear headphones that have 24 hours of Bluetooth battery life. Tommy has the Tray earbuds that have 9 hours and sound great. The Bluetooth works very well and is great for tough guys like me and Tommy who can't be tied down by cords or by women. Our listeners get a 15% discount at studiosweden.com with the promo code BAND15. Again, that is BAND15. Enjoy the rest of the show. We're back on Stand By Your Band, the podcast. I'm not going to go do
it. I know that BAND15 is the promo code for our headphones.
Yes.
And that's because you wanted it to be PEN15. And they said, you little boy. You foolish little boy.
PEN15 still gets me hard. Just seeing that on a calculator. Wait, you can't write PEN15 on a calculator. Well, on a graphing one, maybe.
That's
on your phone. You can write PEN15 on your phone.
Do kids... I wonder if kids get to use the calculator thing on their phone in class. Probably not.
I bet they do. I think they still use graphic calculators.
It seems like a waste.
Yeah, because they can't have their phones.
Yeah, but all the technology could be there, right?
Yeah, it's like a waste of money. Like, it's just what they need to do is make phones that kids can't use for anything other than calculating.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I should come out with that. Calcuphone. By Tom Takar and Ken Bone. Ken Bone's Calculabones.
The Calcuphone, the new scent by Tom Takar. Calcuphone.
Oh, shit. We are back. We popped a bottle of champagne during the break.
We sure did.
Like we won a championship game.
That's right. We felt it was appropriate since we're talking about Vampire Weekend to sip rosé champagne. I guess it's rosé. It's sparkling rosé, but it's fancy.
It's delicious.
And in our defense... because we're talking about privilege and stuff. I stole this.
It is weird. Our chairs just transformed into Adirondacks. I didn't even know that was possible.
No, I didn't steal it. I was at a fancy show where they just had these
Tommy
up for grabs.
Is wearing a Martha's Vineyard t-shirt.
That's true.
Yes. I'm wearing a Wellesley College sweatshirt.
And I'm wearing a fucking Cubby's shirt.
And a monocle.
Yeah. A monocle Lewinsky. We got to get to these Facebook comments, babies. There's some good ones today. Let's read them. The first one I wanted to read was someone named Dan Seabury, who was arguing with our buddy Alex Price, who runs some fun shows in Indiana. Check those out. Look up Alex Price. You'll see his fun shit. Alex was arguing that it's Paul Simon's Graceland over and over again. And then our buddy Dan Seabury from Ohio said, I'm just backing you. Oh, no, he said Paul Simon did say he liked them, though. And then they're just synth pop fusing it with the world drum beats. And it's not that, you know, it's not like Paul
Again,
Simon was.
It's, yeah. Paul Simon's music is already derivative. So shut up.
So Bill Gewurz, our dear friend out of Chicago, check him out. He's a great man. He's a pisshead. He said, I love them because I think they make really good music. However, they first came out dressing like Republicans and singing about Cape Cod, and apparently it was a joke, but nobody, myself included, got the joke. Their second album is pretty boring and self-indulgent, but I thought Modern Vampires in the City made them pretty bulletproof and allowed basically everyone to admit they're great. You stupid piece of shit, Bill. Don't listen to the show anymore if you're going to say dumb shit like
also,
that.
Also, that's a... I just want to say that...
Love you.
It's a bipartisan style of dress. That's
I would
what
agree.
I would agree. I take deep offense to it because I dress more like on a more or less on a daily basis like all of them at their most douchey.
Uh-huh.
So
I didn't think of it as bipartisan until I saw you in boat shoes.
Thank you so much.
But I always thought of you as like a Republican type.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because you don't really talk about your politics very often.
I think everyone I went to college with dressed like that, and not everyone was a Republican.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, you went to, yeah,
I went to Holy Cross. Very preppy. But
yeah, just Tommy's Reddit friends are like that.
No, I went to a high school and a college that had like a lot of preppy liberal people. So whatever. I'm defending boat shoes for the rest of my life. I don't care.
Well,
but also contra. Bill saying that contra is not. Shut up, Bill. That's
hey, Bill.
Bill.
I feel like
you're on blast,
like a Hillary supporter right now when I say this isn't about Bill. What he did.
Contra is an incredible album. Go listen to White Sky again or Diplomat Son, you piece of garbage.
Damn.
I don't know.
Horchata is so good.
Horchata is really. I mean,
I'm surprised you didn't put that on here. I mean, I know you had a lot to choose from, but you went heavy on the self-titled, and I thought that was very stupid. But
did I really? Did I pick mostly from the self-titled? That was unintentional.
You know what? You might. I think it was close. I think you might have actually split it up pretty evenly.
Only I know that I only picked one for Modern Vampire.
It's just Unbelievers. Right?
Yes, yeah,
and you picked two from Contra, and so
which
the
is
rest
interesting
are all...
because that's maybe the most heavy-handed of the. I would. That's pretty heavy-handed metaphor-wise.
Contra?
No, Unbelievers as a song.
No, but yes. I'll tell you why. Lyrically, I want to talk about it.
I think it's a great song. We'll talk about it.
Let's
play
talk
it now.
About
Let's play
when
it
we
now.
Get to the, okay, yeah, we can play it
I
now.
Think people get annoyed when we talk about a song and don't listen to it.
That's true. Yeah. Plugging it in. All right, so we're playing Unbelievers from Vampire Weekend's third album, Modern Vampires. I fucked up by what I was saying. I'm drinking champagne. This song is so catchy, though.
I love it.
It's a Diane. Got a little soul. The world is a cold, cold place to be. Want a little warmth, but who's gonna save a little warmth for me? We know the fire ways. Some believers all of us in the same. Girl, you and I would die. Unbelievers bound to the tracks of the train. So, if you wanna.
I am such
such fun.
Such a sucker for when that piano comes
no,
in.
No, it's so fun.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
It is funny that it's so catchy, and it's like, you know that when we die, nothing happens. but I love that fucking song. This was like a heavy jogging album for me, where it, like, there are those albums where you're like, we talk about the four ways to listen to music on this podcast a lot. Tommy, mostly. But for running, this was the best album there's ever been.
Yeah.
Like, for not every track, but not, Unbelievers, yeah. Obvious Bicycle,
and Hey,
and there's another
Everlasting
one.
Everlasting Arms is very good.
Everlasting Arms, pretty good for it. Hannah Hunt was like a nice, like, slut cool down one. And then, yeah, it's great. There's a lot of fun stuff happening here.
I picked Unbelievers. And it's not even my favorite song on the album. I actually think that when it first came out, Step was my favorite song.
Step is the other one I was trying to think of.
Step's
great.
All the lyrics are just places.
I'm glad you picked Unbelievers over Step, because I do like Step. I think I felt the same way. I think Step and Yahe and Hannah Hunt. Yeah. Those are my three faves right out of the gate. And the more I listen to Step now, the more I don't feel good. Like, yeah. There's something about it that feels like weird. I don't know. I think it's the step to my girl. Like, it sounds all of it's a little strange.
You prefer
the wording.
Step up to the streets.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Step up to my girl too.
But I just felt like. I felt like everyone who loved, because they played Unbelievers when they performed on SNL for like the third time or whatever, mm-hmm. and everyone was just like obsessed with this song, and I was just like, they can do so much more than this, even though this is a great song. Yeah, I picked it just because I had a sort of like peripheral group of friends who were just like so into, they were just like, oh my God, a song about atheism. Yes.
Yeah. I think that that's a song that when people call them boring, I'm like, come on. How are you not having fun to that song a little bit?
The instrumentation's great. The way they like pace it out is so good.
Yeah.
Really, clearly grown a lot as musicians. And I have to say, I've gone to like a number of Vampire Weekend concerts, and it is my safe space because it's the only place where I feel like I'm not like the worst dancer.
That feels like an argument against them.
It is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just want to keep it mine. It's my place. Yeah. But I mean, it's so fun.
It will be interesting to see what happens though, because Rostam is clearly the best musician.
Yes.
Of the group.
He has like such a huge influence on their sound.
Well, yeah, none of that drum kind of stuff would be happening. Yeah. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
I don't think Chris is like a particularly good drummer.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he has a lot of fun.
I was just thinking, you said you'd be the best dancer there. Like, thinking about it. It'd be so funny if you just saw Richard Dawkins like dancing along to this. Like, finally, some music I can relate to.
Bill Maher loves
the ghost. Yeah. The ghost of Christopher Hitchens just like breaking it down.
He's just like, women aren't funny.
Oh God.
I know that the bloggers will disagree.
I'm not afraid of Bill Maher because, you know, he's never.
You're white.
I ain't afraid of Bill Maher.
No, it's because, you know, he's never hired a woman, so I'll never be hired by him anyway.
It's crazy. If you look at his writers, it is all of
that's,
that.
I link people to that all the time. I link to the IMDb page of his writers going back like 25 years, and there is nary a woman in sight.
Wow, nary is a great word.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate you bringing that to this podcast. Usually, Tommy's just up here talking about lapping up urine, and that's as big of a word. That no, yeah, it's pretty bonkers, but we're a pro Bill Maher podcast on here, mm-hmm. anti-Muslim.
yeah, Unbelievers is great. I remember that was that 2012, that album? What year was that?
That one, let's see, I was still in Bloomington. Yeah, I think that was 2012.
Because they, like, discography, it tracked pretty well with my time in Massachusetts, like, pretty crazily.
It was, like, 08, 10, 12, I think. Mm-hmm.
Which, so I went to Massachusetts in 2008, and I came back in 2012. So it was, like, perfectly my time as a person who, like, went to Cape Cod once a year. Like, it was all dirty. So it felt like it was kind of... made for me in that sense.
I was going to say something similar, where it's, like... I felt like the timeline of their album, like I was, the first album is like right as I was getting out of college, and then like their that album felt very collegey. Yeah, I mean, they have a song called Campus, yeah. And like
it's so good though. It's,
no, I love it. No, like, that's what I loved out
everybody,
of it.
Everybody, so
piece.
I read all the Facebook comments, and everybody is like jizzing themselves over Modern Vampires, and I'm just like, it's so uneven compared to their other albums. Mm. It's really. It's, I don't think
it's the least cohesive.
Yes.
Sure,
and it's,
yeah.
You know, it's clearly like experimental, but it's like they just threw a bunch of shit at the wall. And again, I think it's two songs too many. Like,
for sure.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And I felt like, what a weird way to end an album that wasn't so, I don't know. I felt like it ended on such a low note. Of
I just
song.
Hated
I
how much,
the
I hated
so
how
much
everyone loved it because yeah. It was. So glaring to me that they've done better.
I still loved it though. I come from a place of like, I think you can swing and miss on a couple songs if you create something that's so great with the other parts of the album. And I think that that's what they did. I think that yeah, even though it's like a little bit, it might be what you're saying where it's like a little bit of them creating something that they think people want to hear.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, this is what the industry is looking for right now. But I loved that song. And I loved, I mean, we all did.
Unbelievers,
Obvious Bicycle. These are all great songs. But I was hurt and offended that you didn't put Hannah Hunt on here.
I picked Unbelievers just because... not even because it's my favorite song on the album. It is a great song, but it's just like the song that everyone was talking about when it came out, and it was the song that like everyone was obsessed with when they played it on SNL.
Yeah. Did they play... Was Diane Young the other song they played on?
I think
so. I was pissed that was the choice, because it's not even top five for me on that album. And I like that album. I like that song, but it's not even top... It's
Diane
like,
Young doesn't do it for me.
There
honestly.
Is that thing. There is that element of when I found out that that's what they were saying, is Diane Young, I was like... Oh, fuck you.
Even Only the Good Die Young isn't about dying. You know, it's about a young Catholic girl who won't put out.
Which is what all music should be about.
I think
give it up, ladies.
One of the reasons I like them so much is they were like, being in Boston at that time, they were one of the few alternative bands that I could listen to without being weird.
Uh-huh.
If that makes sense. Like, okay. I could put on a Vampire Weekend song at a party and no one would be like, dude, what the fuck is... Like, I remember putting on Mountain Goats once and my buddy was like, dude, you want to fucking kill yourself or something?
I mean, well... That's fair. Yeah, Mountain Goats are definitely...
No, that's what I'm living in right now. Yeah. But on the National, I'm getting shit.
Exactly, yeah. But they were a safe alternative band to listen
that's
to.
That's so funny. Yeah. Like, even not... this isn't so... Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not from Boston like you fucking Southies or whatever. But I out in Indiana, when we would have a party, well, you know, we'd get the goats together. They all we'd watch them fuck in the yard. And then
Tijuana?
And then I'd put on like a Deep Cut Modest Mouse. And people like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
But I think that you can put on Contra from beginning to end, like at a party, and it doesn't feel weird.
Mm. Except for the last song. I think you're a Contra. Let's listen to that real fast. Even though I do think it's the perfect ending to this playlist, and it's the one you gave us to it last. But I think since I'm referencing now, we should listen to it. This is. Maybe my favorite.
Oh,
I think
my
this
God,
is
my
favorite
so fucking good.
Vampire Weekend song, but this is the sort of shit I like.
Ugh.
I had a feeling once that you and I could tell each other everything for 2 months. But even with our oath, with truth on our side, when you turn away from me, it's not right. I think you're a Contra.
Connor just walked in.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Connor.
Happy birthday, Connie.
What? I said you were ruining the moment. I forgot that I said that. I was showing the song.
So, I mean,
I'm gonna skip forward in a second.
I'm transported.
The part where it breaks down is like my favorite. Like the ending of the song.
You have no idea how many times I contemplated getting a tattoo of lyrics from this song.
This is good. Perfect skip forward. Friends with pools. You're not a contra. You wanted rock and roll. Complete control. For a second.
Love it.
This part makes me cry.
Never pick sides, never choose between two. But I just wanted you. I just wanted you. Said never pick sides, never choose between two. But I just wanted you. I just wanted you.
All those noises. It sounds like there's like trees in the background or something. Tommy's looking at his watch because he's an emotional robot.
Wait, speaking of robots, I was reading about the new Ezra Koenig Netflix anime show. Have you heard about this?
Yes, I have.
I have not watched it yet, but Jaden Smith is involved.
Yep.
It's like it's one of those things where it just seems like it's like a random name and fact generator made what this
is. It's so weird.
It's like the Vampire Weekend anime show where Jude Law plays a robot butler. It's like, wait, none of that is real, right?
Yeah, he's getting a lot of flack for it, and he's just like, we wanted it to be inspired by anime. It's not real anime.
Oh, my God.
Like, okay.
And it's weird that he has Emma Stone playing all the Asian characters.
Help yourself to more champagne, guys.
That song, you guys will be mad. It's not for me. It's a little...
I can tell.
It's a little too ambient.
I like it. See, and we've talked about this before.
It's a difference in our taste. Yeah.
Like, there's a song that this is... I mean, this song is... 4:30, which is 10 minutes after my favorite time of day. You know what I'm talking about? did you finish it? That's okay.
Just kill it.
Hold on.
Yeah, kill it.
Do you want some more, Julia?
No.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I poured accidentally way too much here. This is Champagne Talk.
Champagne Talk.
Caviar podcast.
Caviar dreams.
Champagne for my real friends.
No champagne for my Julia Claire friends.
God bless.
I love that sort of shit. I mean, it has to be the right kind, though. I don't like this Animal Collective shit.
I could never get into that. And it's one of those bands that everyone has always said you would love.
No.
And
bullshit. No,
they have like a few good songs.
Yeah.
I don't like them.
As long as we're doing our open mic jokes in here. I mean, Tommy used to use his old Vampire Weekend joke on Hot Shows and Bomb, but I... No.
Before Netflix and Chill, I used to do Hot Shows and Bomb.
I tried this joke. I mean, it's not that I don't think this is funny. I've set this up enough. But it was about how like people talk about like... my brother posted something about liberal bullies. And I was like, the only liberal bullying I've ever gotten is people trying to get me to like Animal Collective. We're like, no, you should like it. Like, it's like, I just don't. It's not. Mm. It didn't work for me. This, however, I think also just that ending, like when they lose all the instruments and then pick it back up.
It's like a perfect bookend to the album.
It's great. And that's also a closing of an album, which I think if you were to listen to this on a playlist, it wouldn't be right.
Chronologically, which is how you should, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah, it's perfect. I love it. I love it. What?
There you go.
There we are. Okay, hello.
Vocals, it's so good. But sonically it reminds me a little bit of Death Cab for Cutie.
I agree with that, and I love Death Cab for Cutie.
I like Death Cab for Cutie a lot.
So
yeah.
I feel like
I've seen them three times.
This song to me feels a little bit more. It's stylized a little more in a way that I like than Death Cab for Cutie. Like it's got a little bit more going on.
The vocals are way different, honestly.
Yeah. I prefer. I prefer Ezra Koenig's vocals to Ben Gibbard's.
I probably do too.
And it's tough because I love Ben Gibbard, but sometimes it's a bit much for me with him.
Ezra, I think his singing, his live singing has improved a lot. Like the first time I saw him, I didn't think he was a good live singer. And I think he's like improved a lot because every time I've seen him since then, I thought his singing was much better. Like it was noticeable the first time I saw him. I was like, this is... I don't like this so much, but I think that he's much better now.
He
was a bit of a Florence, what was that Meryl Streep movie that no one liked, where she was bad at singing?
Oh my God.
With Hugh Grant. you know what I'm talking about, right?
Mamma Mia?
Yeah, Mamma Mia.
Have you guys heard the Neil McCoy cover of this song? Be a Contra, my ass.
I won't be a Contra. Unbeliever, my ass. I won't unbelieve.
That's a better one. all right, let's just keep going through the playlist. This is a good time.
But that's also a good example of, to Tommy's point, a good example of a song that not everybody likes.
Because, if somebody said that was boring,
because
I get
it's so kind of like drawn out and heavily stylized. Mm. I agree. So that's another reason why I picked it, because it's another one that is a little polarizing.
No, this was a good playlist in my
opinion.
Thank
you so much.
Because it's got a good spectrum on it. You cover a lot of bases. And you know, some people like don't get songs like I Think You're a Contra because they're stupid, but like
you know, I found out about Vampire Weekend is I was working as a janitor over at MIT. And someone had written the lyrics to this song on the blackboard, but they couldn't figure out the ending. And I walked up and I wrote Contra question mark.
I think you're a blank. That's all it said.
And then not you, Ezra.
You got a future in front of you. I don't want to see you down at the Lumberyards.
I want to see you down at Hyannisport.
As a ghetto. All right, so let's go in the order of what you got here. Minus that. So Diplomat's song was what you... Timlet's Son is what you sent us first. When I typed it in earlier, I typed in Diplomat's Song too. Diplomat's Son. I fucking love this song. This is on Contra.
This is my favorite song of theirs.
This is a great song. This is like a nice bridge between albums, I feel like, because this feels a little bit like
it does
the self-titled,
like,
but it's also like fun. It's fun, but it's also just a little bit more evolved.
It's not right, but it's now or never. And if I wait, could I ever forgive myself?
This song's fun. I mean, I love the line, to offer it to you would be cruel when all I want to
do is
use you. I mean, that's fucking great. And it's gay. This is about a gay relationship.
Yeah, last night I smoked a joint, found myself in bed when I woke up.
He was gone.
Yeah.
I had a moment when I realized that it was like about a male relationship. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's so sick.
This is...
in the eyes of God.
This is unquestionably my favorite song of theirs. all three albums. I like literally, there was a point in time where I was like, this will be my wedding song. Like, wow. I love this song so much. It is my go-to. I probably listened to the song more than any other song in all of music.
Dang. Oh, wow.
I love this song.
It's very fun. I understand. Like I said, I think it's a good bridge. I think it's like, it's poppy, but it's also like, it's just got more elements, I feel like, than the other albums did. And it's like, and you're just like, he was a diplomat's son.
He was a diplomat's son.
He was 81. What else do you want?
That just reminded me, just to tie something together that I was talking about earlier, is I remember a few friends and I were listening to The Decemberists on the Bus Mall, which is a great song.
Yeah, yeah.
And I pointed out that it's about like teen gay prostitutes.
Yes.
And one of the Boston guys goes, that makes me not like it anymore.
I was a teen gay prostitute. You know how I feel about stuff like that. It takes me back.
Oh, my God. Truly, yes.
Go Sox.
The best and brightest of our state. Just a bunch of... That was probably my dad like 30 years ago. 100%.
I was hanging out with your dad in college.
Honestly, my dad is still around. He doesn't move well, but he's around every college campus.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's listen to A Punk. This is maybe
the song that
might
started
be their
it
most
all.
Known
yeah.
Song. Yeah. Ooh, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly are about to be funny. This is Step Brothers. Short, since I think people know it.
People know it.
Yeah. This one's so fun, though. I mean,
it's those liberal elites we know and love. I love them so much.
I feel like the nice thing about this song is, like I said, this is probably their most popular song.
I mean,
it's the one that, like, it was used in a lot of shit. Like, you would hear it all. This in Oxford Comma, you would hear all the time this year.
Actually, oh, fuck, I forgot to mention that one of the reasons why I chose Unbelievers is because... A Punk is not their most popular song. On Spotify, their most listened to song is Unbelievers.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me.
Yeah,
I guess also, I mean more
but
like this is
the song that introduced.
That might be a recency bias too.
That's true.
Probably.
I want to see the listens, but my Spotify is not working. Oh, here we go. Here we go. A Punk. No, A Punk by 50 million listens.
Really? Why did
they just rank
that?
Them? They put the number. The numbers aren't always.
Unbelievers
okay.
is 61 million. A-Punk is 115 million.
Okay, well then that makes me happy.
Unbelievers
because...
is the next highest, but it's down by 50
okay,
mil.
Okay, well that's good because A-Punk is a better song.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean A-Punk
I love
is great. A-Punk is great.
It's like so fucking catchy. It's so
A-Punk
simple.
A-Punk is
so,
so good
too.
That there was a minute where I was skipping it just because on the... When this was the only album, I was like, I'm going to skip A-Punk right now
because
I've heard it
so
much.
I did it too
but
because
now
I
it's like I can go back and listen to it. And I'm like, I still love it.
Yeah.
It's still fun.
Yeah,
like
it's
still a great, it's a great time.
I felt
so,
like Cousins on Contra was like a lesser A-Punk.
Yes, for sure. Cousins, I remember.
But it's still fun.
It being the video, I was
Cousins
annoyed.
Is, the one where it's like, cousins, be good to your daughter.
Cousins, be good to your cousins.
That's the worst song.
Cousins will act like you do.
Just act like you do, like because it's nothing.
Cousins take baths together, grow up to be assholes together.
What are you going
to
rhyme with baths together?
Oh.
I'm so lost. I have no idea where
they
we are.
They flock like birds together. No, that didn't... Together, I meant birds of a feather. And I said... I rhymed together with together, which is not good. All right.
A-Punk's great.
A-Punk is a good song.
Every instrument is fun in it. The drum beat's really fun. The bass part's great.
It's just, it's a perfect pop song.
It is.
It's so good. It was such a good.
It's short and it's like snappy and all the instruments are great. It's amazing. Fun. I love it.
It was a great coming out party for them, which is what Tommy boycotts when his friends do. Coming out parties. Did you get that, Tommy?
I got it.
Yeah. All right. It doesn't get better.
Call me by your name, my ass. I won't call me by your name. I might have to tweet that.
You're gonna have two call me by your. Oh wait, no, your other one's a different. Your other one's what we talk about. That's great. You got a Paul F. Tompkins retweet this week. Tommy sent me the screenshot of Paul F. Tompkins retweeting him, and he said, "This is my Conan."
I also got a big bag of popcorn for some reason.
Paul F. Tompkins Twitter. All right, the next one is Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa.
So good.
This might be the most Paul Simon-esque.
Yes,
for sure.
That's why I picked
so great.
It.
Yeah.
Well, I picked it for a few reasons.
As a young girl, Louis Vuitton, with your mother, on a sandy lawn, as a sophomore. And the linen you're sitting on is your bed made? Is your sweater on? Do you want to fall? Like no, I do. Like no, I do.
That's a great song.
Yes.
Feels so unnatural, ripping off Paul Simon. This is so good.
So this song is like, I feel like a microcosm of what people hate about them in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
One, because of how like derivative it is, obviously, as you said, but also it has like a lot of weird references in the lyrics, which is like in Campus, they have this one line. It's like spilled kefir on your kefia, which is like, who the fuck knows what that means?
Back then, I didn't know what kefir was until like a year ago.
Yeah.
Kefir is the guy who made fun of that girl with one arm, right?
That's right.
She had a probiotic deficit.
I didn't know until very recently that they were saying, do you want to fuck? Like, I know I do. I thought they were saying, do you want to fall?
I thought fall. I thought they were saying fall, and I thought fall meant fuck.
I said fall. I thought it was fall until, I'm not kidding you, until I looked up the lyrics to the song like a week ago.
Interesting. We have to listen back. I don't know.
There's
if
a thing about
the
Weezer song Tired of Sex, where Rivers Cuomo said he tried to like purposely make it hard to understand because he was thinking about his family listening to the lyrics.
That's funny.
So he was like trying to kind of mutter the stuff about sex in it, which I feel like this is kind of too. Like,
I do that with my jokes about cum. Hey, do you want to cum? Where is the cum?
What's the deal with cum?
This song is kind of like, I read this article, I don't know if you guys read it, it was about children's music.
Fuck, that was it.
It was about like people who make children's music videos on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And how there's
yeah.
all these algorithm things they try to hit because it's like kids will search things with this, so it'll be like a reference to Spider-Man, a reference to Suicide Squad, a reference, so they'll try and like fit it all in to try and hit as many as they can. And I feel like this is kind of that for like Nantucket, you know what I mean? We're gonna say Louis Vuitton, we better say sweater, we better say Peter Gabriel, like they try and hit all the algorithm.
Peter Gabriel did a cover of this song for AV Club.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
Let's listen really quickly back to that part where they say fuck, because I have never been able to hear before. I have it queued up.
Oh,
it's, fuck that.
I know, it sounds like fall.
Do you want to fuck?
It's, but it is, do you want to fuck?
It does sound like me cussing as a kid, where I'd be like, that bullshit. You ever do that so that you feel like God's not mad at you?
My favorite podcast. Just,
that's fun up.
Mark Maron's What the Fuck?
What's up, What the Fuck?
Do you remember on SNL when Jenny Slate said, fuck?
Oh, boy. All right. So let's go on to Walcott, yes. Which is also.
I think this is my favorite Vampire Weekend.
This song. One is so good. I want to start it from the very beginning. Okay. Here it is. Oh,
fuck.
What I love a, it right what away. A beginning. That's why I had to start. That's why I had to start from the beginning. That beginning is
a very nice place to start.
It's funny because this playlist is so tough for me because this is my favorite band that we've done on the show so far. Yeah, by far. This is my favorite one we've done so far. Like, of the bands, like, this is one that I truly loved.
Yeah.
I mean, Coldplay is, like, a band that I know a lot more about because I was obsessed with them as a kid. But this is my favorite one that we've done. It's like, if we did Modest Mouse, that would be my favorite one. But this is a band where I'm like, I spent so much time listening to them.
So it's hard to
cut off each song because I'm like, I know what's about to happen. And I don't want to let it. Yeah.
And I love, so that song, that's the song that they close all their concerts with.
Ah.
And that's another reason why I picked it, because it is like such a great closer.
Yeah.
Sure.
And like everybody just gets up and is like going crazy as much as, you know, a stadium full of white people can. But
everyone's lifting their tabs in the air.
With a Vineyard Vines koozie.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and I also, that's another thing about their self-titled that I loved so much is the use of strings.
How do they do that live? What do they do for that live?
They have like violinists.
They have a violinist.
Yeah. And especially the first time.
I just watched a video of them doing it live. It's fucking fun.
It's so fun. It's just, it's the most fun. It's,
hell yeah.
Like when they, every time they close on that, it's just like everyone goes nuts because it's, obviously it's such a great song. And it just, from beat one, just gets you going.
It's so fun right away. It reminds me of, there's a Strokes song that starts out like really quickly like that, and they both make me feel like that, where I'm like, we're in it. It's so good. Yeah. It's rare to find a song where you're immediately, from the first 5 seconds, you're like, I know I love this song.
Yeah.
Like, that one is great. It's funny because I wanted to give you shit about like about picking so many Vampire, like that album songs.
Yeah.
But that is, that's great. I mean, even, because to me, it's like, I put Hannah Hunt on this list just so I could listen to it for a second, but we don't have to play it. We're already
Walcott is just like so great because it puts me anyways, it's very much like a place and time song. and it was one of my favorite songs on the album when it came out. And yeah, I'm really into it. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
I still love it.
It's so good. It's, I mean, Walcott is like the most fun song.
Yeah.
I like Walcott way more than A-Punk.
Really?
Okay. I think it's so much more fun.
I think it's like way more dynamic than A-Punk.
Absolutely. I think that's what I like more about it.
But I think that's why A-Punk is like so
effective. Don't have to listen to this. I just put it on the background. I wanted to hear it. I put on Hannah on the background.
I think A-Punk was like such a good introduction for everybody to them because it's so simple and it doesn't like give away all of their all of what they can do. But it's also super catchy.
A-Punk, A-Punk, A-Punk. See, it's a middle ground.
Right, sure.
I think the Strokes and Vampire Weekend are interesting to talk about together. They talk about that a lot in Meet Me in the Bathroom.
Yes.
The great
this is what Kevin Lopkovich, our dear friend, was writing about.
It's
but
an incredible read. That
yes.
But Vampire Weekend kind of came out right as the Strokes story is ending a little bit, and people kind of hate them. But it's funny because Julian Casablancas was an insanely rich kid, but it was looked at as like this really cool New York guy.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Because he didn't, because they wore leather jackets. You know,
because he's dirty.
I have a lot of fucking thoughts on the Strokes because it's like that. I love the Strokes too.
I do too.
But fuck that, man. I just hate like. I hate that it's like your Strokes are bust and it's like they're cool. Like, because they were only cool for a second. It's like, I feel like it was such a flash in a pan where it's like, then it's like, why were they not sustainable? I mean, you know that better than I do because I haven't read that book.
It's a great book.
I need to read that book. I'm
going
to read that book because we get a lot of comments where it's like, oh, Tom hasn't read that fucking book. He's an idiot in music.
Have you seen them live? I've seen them live
the
once.
I saw the Strokes twice. One time, one of the best shows I've ever seen. The other time, they were so fucked up, they could not play.
Really?
And the bass player fell over during the show.
Wow.
Passed out. They had to stop playing. And it was a scene.
Man,
he said that they pulled him away and said he had the flu.
But no, I was at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, and I spent a lot of money on the tickets. And,
fuck,
was a bummer.
I saw
Vampire
them live. They
would
great.
Never do that to you.
Yeah, they wouldn't. They're like weirdly like straight edge or whatever.
Which is, I will say, I don't like that.
There is a quote in that book.
Something weird about that.
He
that
says
I don't
something
like
not this word for word verbatim, but something to the effect of like, I just think playing music's the greatest buzz, like something like
oh,
that.
Boy.
Like, oh boy.
No. Okay.
But I mean, they aren't
well,
like
Ezra.
Straight
Ezra
edge
also,
the straight edge sense,
I mean, yeah, they're not actually straight edge.
I mean, I don't need my musicians to be like pill heads or whatever either.
I do actually. That's where you and I differ. I definitely do.
I want
like
my
a bass head.
Musicians to love Tylenol.
No, but Ezra, I think Ezra produced. Didn't he produce Hold Up on Lemonade?
Oh, I don't know.
Is that true? I did not know that.
I'm almost positive.
Wow.
I'm going to look it up here. The last thing I looked up was Richard Dawkins.
I think you're thinking of he had a lemonade stand that he used to raise money for the first album.
He has a writing credit on Lemonade for the song Hold Up.
Yep.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
He submitted a packet.
See, women can't do anything on their own.
That would be so funny if Beyonce won the Grammy, but they sent him up to accept it on her behalf.
We should wrap this thing up. That was the playlist. I had Hannah playing in the background.
Wait, can we listen to the last minute of Hannah Hunt? Because it's so good.
Right? Thank you. I'm glad that you like it. In my head,
I like Hannah. I just don't like it as much as you do.
I know that the build-up makes it, but the last minute is perfect to me.
No, it's amazing.
And I think even without the build-up, it's so good.
This part.
Yes. Yep. You're right.
This again. They have the ability to make me cry in a way that like few bands can.
Oh,
this build up is so good.
I've cried at every one of their concerts I've been to, and I don't have emotions. So.
Oh. It just keeps. God damn, it's so good. You, though we live on the U.S. dollar, you and me, we got our own sense of time. It just fucking destroys me. It's like,
oh, it's so good. Their lyrics. See, that's one of the things I love about them is their lyrics, especially on the first album. Their lyrics are again very like reference heavy, but I love that. Like
that,
I love
think
their
that
lyrics.
Is what I like about. I think that's why people give the third album such reverence.
Yeah,
because I think lyrically the third album is their best.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I do think that. I mean. The second album also is fucking right up there.
No, actually, well, part of the reason why Diplomat Son is my favorite song of theirs is because I think it's lyrically their best song.
It might be. It's so good.
It's so
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Okay. This one, it's even like...
Gun
yeah.
to your head. Yeah. Modern Vampire, Modern Family. Which do you pick? You gotta pick one.
Gun and to my head. All the cast of Modern Family dies if you pick.
Yeah, think about
that. Oh, this. Shit.
Even that little boy.
Gun to your head. Immediately pull the trigger. You said you ask a depressed person that. Gun to your head. That sounds sick. Tommy, I'll take the lead on this one since I feel like I've put that on you a couple times recently. I am going to give this a 5.9 out of 6.
Oh my god.
5.9
wow.
out of 6.
What's the point one off for?
Not putting Hannah on. No, it's honestly I think that it was I think if you put Horchata on here over a song, it's only because I feel like if someone else were to come on to do Vampire Weekend and then give me a playlist that had a couple different songs, even though I love these songs, I would have to give it a 6.
Really?
So I'm giving this a 5.9 only because
Horchata's,
I need that point.
Horchata's
one of
my
an
A-punk in that I skip it.
Mm. I love Horchata so much.
I love it too. I've listened to it
Lips
so many
and
times
Teeth before. To ask how your day went yeah. is like such
that's
a
like,
good...
That's like leg day for me. I skip it every week.
And arm day.
Oh, fuck you. I haven't been to a gym in 2 years.
Well, according to Jim, we should go see the new Jim. Woody Allen movie.
Oh my god.
Have you heard of Vampire Weekend, Jim?
It's crazy that they're going to have a laugh track in this Woody Allen. Oh, so what do you give it, Tommy? What do you give this playlist?
I got to say, I love Vampire Weekend, and it's a real wonder wheel of an album, and I got to go... I think I love this band, but the playlist, there was a couple that weren't for me, so I'm going to go 4.3.
What the fuck?
4.3, you sick piece of shit.
That's not me, that's Woody.
Oh, that was Woody.
Me, I'll go.
4.3.5.
4.3
at 2, I love Vampire Weekend. I didn't love the...
You didn't like my choices. It's about me.
I don't love Diplomat Son, and I don't love...
Oh my god.
You don't like Diplomat
Son. Son of a bitch.
Well, it's a gay anthem, and you know how Tommy is about this stuff. He's a religious...
He's
boy.
A real
This is what I was saying with this coming out party.
I can't believe it. Like, yeah, see, that's it boggles my mind when someone doesn't like love Diplomat Son, but
yeah,
okay. I guess this is our relationship now.
This is why the Democrats won't win in 2020.
My favorite thing is when people take it personally.
Julia, what would you give this playlist?
Out of 6?
Uh-huh.
Why is it out of 6?
Because there's 6 songs.
You're rating the playlist, okay. Not the band.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
I would give this playlist a 6 out of 6.
Okay, good. All right. Some people don't.
It's
some
very
people,
weird.
Yeah. Before we end this episode, we're going to save the Patreon one for next episode.
Okay.
Because this one's already
it's so
pretty
late.
Long.
It's like 1 a.m.
It's very late. So I will say our... It's 1 a.m. I must be almost lonely in a couple hours. Lonely.
It is truly so late. How are we up?
Lonely.
Do you guys have to work tomorrow?
I drink coffee. I have to wake up at 7:30. Not too bad, but still.
Do you have a long commute?
I have to go to 46th and 5th.
Fuck damn. Off. How?
Yeah, and I'm probably going to go see Coco tomorrow, so I should probably be up.
You're in love with the Coco.
Let's just end with that. This has been a fun time. Julia, thank you so much for coming
on. What a fun time. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Is there anything we would like to promote, Julia?
Yes.
When is this going to come out?
This Wednesday.
Wednesday.
This very Wednesday.
Oh, gosh. No, then.
You have Twitter and stuff?
I do, yeah.
Great Twitter.
Oh, thank
very
you so much.
Twitter.
My Twitter is O Julia Tweets, O H Julia tweets. I do a lot of great work on there. Get retweeted by Joe Scarborough every now and again. So,
damn.
And which one of the Scarboroughs is he?
No, I got retweeted by him once and got just a shitload of Trump supporters in my mentions immediately.
Wow.
Because they hate him too. Mm-hmm. So they hate Joe Scarborough too.
I just got a tweet that said, I'm not sure how I feel about Tom Tokarczuk's Conan performance. I'll have to check out Tommy McNam's other podcast, Stand By Your Tom Tokarczuk, for his analysis first. Kidding aside, great set on Conan.
And that was Richard Spencer?
Thank you to Richie Spence. Always good to have new fans.
Richie Spence.
Yeah.
His bio just says, stop punching me.
We have a show December 21st
I'm
at
so
Caroline
excited.
My
on
half
Broadway.
Birthday.
Tommy's half birthday, less than a month from my real birthday.
Well, you don't say from when it already happened.
Yeah, but from it.
It's 11 months
post,
from your birthday.
Yeah, but I turned 30. This is a big one.
That's true.
Let's celebrate it for a couple months, I say. Damn. That's what I say. Yeah, so December 21st, 9:30 p.m. at Caroline's. We have Mark Normand. We have Joel Kim Booster. We have Mike Leibovitz, who you should check out.
Mike Leibovitz. Might be the funniest
person. He's the funniest person. He's very funny. He's super funny. We'll have a few more people on that. We're going to be doing Guilty Pleasure sing-alongs. Come check that out. Check out our Patreon for our bonus shit to hear our damn stand-up from Chicago.
Yeah.
And we're a song on Spotify. We've got a bunch of cool shit coming on there. And you know what? Go fuck yourself. Is there anything else you wanted to plug?
I know you guys are planning your marches right now, so March 13th, I'll be headlining Caroline's on Broadway.
Is that right?
Breakout, baby.
Hell yeah.
Wait, when do we have... Oh, it's February that we have... We'll be in Cape Cod.
So start planning your trip to New York for March 13th.
Congratulations, dog.
Congrats,
that's amazing.
Buddy,
go
that's
check
great.
That out. Man, that's awesome. I'm trying to think if there's one. Oh, come New Year's Eve to see me at Old Caroline's on Broadway.
Ooh, I'll be at the Comedy Attic on New Year's
Eve. That's right, you will.
Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think if there's anything I can one-up
Most
you
fun
with.
Place.
Oh, check out. No, I'm just kidding. No. You know what?
Well, check out my.
check out my Conan because. And,
no, but dude.
And argue with that guy.
That
who,
and also, definitely go see Call Me By Your Name.
yeah. Which I wrote.
Thank you guys for listening. Keep pissing. Bye.